this passage, 2 Corinthians 13:14, which says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It's actually divided into three parts. We can divide it into three parts. The first part deals with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when I repeat the scripture, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, or at times the Apostle Paul says, "His grace be with you," I ask myself the question, what does grace mean? What is the significance of him saying, "His grace be with you"? Well, Paul wanted them to experience all the favor and blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to remind them of the saving power of the Lord's death and the importance of having his divine influence on our lives on a daily basis. In other words, grace is not a one-time phenomenon. For many people, you know, grace came to them when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they now had eternal life. Their sins were now forgiven. And for some people, you know, that's it. That's it for grace. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, Paul said, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." So this verse tells us of God's generous grace that came to us through Jesus Christ. It is saying to us that Jesus Christ was rich. He was the creator of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen. All things belong to him. All the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds, everything that there is belongs to him. And the Bible says, yet, despite the fact that he was rich, he became poor so that he could make us rich, rich towards God, that he could give us eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross. Hallelujah. Acts 15, verses 10 to 11 tells us, "So why on earth would you now limit God's grace by placing a yoke of religious duties on the shoulders of the believers that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?" Praise God. You know what this is saying? This is saying that the type of life that we live, the things that we believe in, the things that we engage in as believers, that they can limit the grace of God in our lives. Think about that. God has more and more and more grace that he wants to give to us. But we have to be careful, because dependent upon what the things that we believe, dependent upon the life that we choose to live, we can limit God's grace upon our lives. He says, "Don't you believe that we are introduced to eternal life through the grace of our Lord Jesus?" The same grace that has brought these people new life. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. You know, we can engage in religious practices that are not supported by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And in this case, they wanted to go back to circumcision, which was not required by Jesus. And what Paul was saying, if you go back to circumcision, to the practice of circumcision, in order to make you right with God, he says you'll be limiting the grace of Jesus Christ. And when you limit the grace of Jesus Christ, you know, your walk with Jesus suffers. So we have to be very careful. Praise God. Then it says in Acts chapter 15, verses 16 to 17, after these things, I will return to you and raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen into ruin. I will restore and rebuild what David experienced, so that all of humanity will be able to encounter the Lord, including the Gentiles, whom I have called to be my very own, says the Lord. Amen. Now, different people render this passage differently, but for me, it is speaking about salvation, the salvation of Jesus Christ that has come to not only the Jews but to the Gentiles. And these are the times in which we are living. There are times which are representative of the grace of Jesus Christ having come to humanity. And he has come that both Jews and Gentiles might be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, Timothy, my dear son, live your life empowered by God's free flowing grace. I want us to listen carefully to these words. He said, Timothy, my son, live your life empowered by God's free flowing grace. Hallelujah. So what this tells us is that grace is not a one-off phenomenon. Grace is not a one-off phenomenon. That grace is available to us every day of our lives. And that grace, the grace of God, empowers us. The grace of God empowers us. Hallelujah. And that it is free flowing. Free flowing. I want you to think about that. I mean, I think this is awesome. I think this is exciting. That God's grace is available to us on a daily basis, on a minutely basis, you know, every second of our lives. God's grace is available to us to empower us, and it is free flowing. And you know, as I thought about it, I asked myself the question, are you living in the free flowing grace of Jesus Christ? Are you accessing it? My answer was no. There is more that I need to access. There is more that I need to access. And it goes on to say, which is your true strength? Paul said that there was a situation that was afflicting him, and he sought the Lord three times, and the Lord said that my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, his grace is sufficient to give us strength, to give us power, to enable us to endure difficult circumstances in our lives. Hallelujah. So it says, which is your true strength? Isn't that awesome? Our true strength is not our human strength. It's not our mental strength. It is the strength that God gives to us through his grace. That's our true strength. And he says, found in the anointing of Jesus and your union with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Awesome. Found in the anointing of Jesus and your union with him. In other words, union with him speaks of a connection with him. It speaks of a relationship with him. It speaks of, you know, a partnership with him. Hallelujah. And so as we enter into and maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ, that union will give us strength. It will supply us with grace. Hallelujah. It will release the anointing of Jesus upon our lives, which will give us strength and power to endure until the end. Hallelujah. Praise God. In Romans 6 and verse 14, it says, remember this, sin will not conquer you. Praise God. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded of that. In the Old Testament, as we read in Leviticus, sin conquered them. Despite all the curses that God said would have come upon them because of sin, they could not stop sinning. Why? Because sin conquered them. There was no grace. There was no grace. But thank God, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he broke the power of sin. So it's good news. It is good news. Not one human being have to continue living a life in which they are in bondage to sin. They are helpless. They just have to keep on sinning. No one has to keep on living like that. Hallelujah. That's good news. Sin no longer has to keep you in bondage. Amen. For God already has delivered you. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Amen. So God has set us free. He has broken the power of sin. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes we are being tempted. Sometimes we're facing difficult situations, and we might feel like giving in or giving up. But we need to just declare, Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin. I am free. I am no longer in bondage. I am no longer in bondage to dirty thoughts or to sexual temptation. I am free because Jesus Christ has broken the bondage of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So, that's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is much more we could say, but that's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second part has to do with the love of God. Paul wanted them to experience all the love of God. Do you know that there are some persons who are not experiencing all the love of God? And I do not say that in a condemnatory way. Ranging from the gift of Christ to save the world over to the day-by-day provision of necessities. So the love of God ranges from that time that we gave our lives to Jesus Christ until these days where we have, you know, God is providing necessities, the necessities of life to us. In John 3:16, it says, for here is the way God loved the world. Praise God. And you know, if you are watching, whether you are in here or you're watching online, and you are a sinner, your life has been controlled by sin, and you want to get free You want to give your life to Jesus, but maybe you are feeling condemned. Maybe you are feeling that there is no hope for you, that your life is totally lost. I want you to listen to this word. Hallelujah. That's not true. That is of the devil. Hallelujah. So he says in John 3:16, John writes, "For here is the way God loved the world." Here is the way God loved you. Regardless of what you are experiencing, regardless of what you are hearing in your mind, regardless of what others are saying about you, here is the way God loved the world. He gave his only, unique Son as a gift. So now, everyone, that includes you, everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. Amen. That's how God showed his love. He gave Jesus to die for me and for you, that you should not perish, but that you would have eternal life. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, "But Christ proved God's passionate love." I love that. This is the Passion Version. It describes God's love as a passionate love. I love that. "But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place." Praise God. Whenever we see the cross of Jesus, we should remember we should be on that cross. We should be on that cross. We were the ones who sinned. We were the ones who have sinned. But Jesus Christ took our place, despite the fact that he had no sin. He took our place on the cross. And he said, "Father, I receive all their sins. Place all their sins, all their guilt upon my life, Father. And I will die in their place." Hallelujah. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. It says, "So now," remember we're talking about the love of God, "so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe," hear this, "there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love." Amen. In other words, God's love for us, it is powerful and it is fixed, and nothing can move it. It is firm. He said, "I am convinced that his love will triumph over death, life troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken God's love for us. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love." Praise God. So, you know, when Satan comes and says, "God does not love you anymore," that's a lie. That's a lie. This passage is telling us that nothing can separate us from God's love. Put it another way, there is nothing that can prevent God from loving us. Amen. God loves every human being. He might hate our ways, but he loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this love is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Amen. Beloved, as long as we accept his love, and love him in return, nothing can separate us from his love. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, praise God, it said, mercy kissed me even though I used to be a blasphemer. I can identify with that. Can you? A persecutor of believers and a scorner of what turned out to be true. I was ignorant and I didn't know what I was doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, how I went to this prayer meeting at my workplace. There were three Baptist Christians who were praying. They invited me to come to the prayer meeting. I was not saved. And I went in there and I laughed aloud. They could hear. I laughed at them. I thought they were foolish. I thought they were ridiculous. I thought they were, you know, wasting their time and wasting my time in having invited me to the meeting. But God's love was still there. God's love was still being extended to me. Hallelujah. And then he says in verse 14, despite all that I was, despite all that I did, despite all that I was thinking, he said, I was flooded with such incredible grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. Like a river overflowing its banks until I was full of faith and love for Jesus, the anointed one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you know, God wants me to say to you, regardless of the life that you have lived, regardless of where you are now situated in life, that God still loves you. God loves you, and God is calling you. He's calling you by his grace. God wants to flood you with his incredible grace. Hallelujah. And his love. Hallelujah. He wants to pour out his spirit upon you until you are full of faith and love for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You know, maybe you are a believer and you are discouraged at this time. Maybe you have been going through very difficult times and you might even feel like giving up at times. And you know, God is saying that you should just say, Lord, give me more grace. Give me more grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Flood me with your incredible grace. Flood my life with your incredible grace until I am full of faith, of your faith, and of your love. Hallelujah. Do you know that perfect love casteth out all fears? You know, perhaps you are fearing the future. Perhaps you are fearful of your ability to be financially sustained in the future. You know, perhaps you are fearing for your children. Perhaps you are fearing for your marriage. But I want to say to you, by the Spirit of God, that you must ask God to flood you with his grace and to fill you with his faith and with his love. And as you are filled with his love, his perfect love will cast out all fear, and you'll be able to see clearly that God loves you, that God is with you, and that God will never forsake you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that grace is likened to a river? Hallelujah. It means there is an abundance of grace. There is an everlasting flow of grace, and that grace is available. It's available at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His grace will never run dry, because that riverhead of grace, it comes from heaven. And in heaven, there is no drought. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And then the third part, the third and final part is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Paul wanted them to experience. That's what he said. When he said, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He wanted them to experience the presence and power of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He wanted them to experience the presence and power of God's Spirit. God wants every believer to experience the power and the presence of God's Spirit. As they walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to place a little emphasis on the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, some people still refers to the Holy Spirit as it. It. He's a person. He's a person. Amen. So, in John 14, verses 21 to 24, it says, these are Jesus' words. I want you to listen to the passion and the sincerity and the desire that are contained in his words. It says, those who truly love me, praise God, who knows that Jesus is looking for true love? Not only are you looking for true love, but Jesus is looking for true love. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says, those who truly love me are those who obey my commandments. Whoever passionately loves me. Can I ask you a question? Do you passionately love Jesus? Think about it. Do you passionately love Jesus? He says, whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. I love that. I love that. Amen. We have heard of, you know, marriages in which one party is loving the other passionately and the other party is not loving at all. But in our relationship with God, we can be assured that as we love God passionately, that God will love us passionately. Hallelujah. In fact, he started loving us before we started loving him. Praise God. He said, and I will passionately love him in return and will reveal myself to him. Watch this now. 22. Then one of the disciples named Judas, and the scripture is careful to note, not Judas Iscariot. Amen? One of the disciples named Judas said, Lord, why is it, look at this question, analyze it, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Think about that. Huh? Let me read that question again. Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? You know, one of the things that came out to me is that when it comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the identity of Jesus Christ, there can be no identity theft. There can be no identity theft. Amen? He will only reveal his identity to some persons. Jesus replied, loving me, I love that. Listen to this. Loving me empowers you to obey my word. Did you see that? You know, you might be feeling weak, and you might be feeling as if, you know, you're not able to serve God as you ought to. But what this is saying is that you need to love God more. You need to love God more. Amen? But you need God's help to love Him more. Ask God to help you to love Him more. Because what He's saying here is that loving me empowers you to obey my word. Hallelujah. And then He says, and my Father will love you so deeply. I love these words. Hallelujah. Amen. As we love Jesus, His Father God, His Father will love us deeply. And it says that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. Hallelujah. Think about that. God and Jesus wants to dwell inside of us. Isn't that awesome? He wants, His desire is that He lives inside of us. Hallelujah. Do you know that Moses didn't have that privilege? Elijah did not have that privilege. Ezekiel did not have that privilege. Joshua did not have that privilege. All this is available through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. Amen. And that speaks of the submission of Jesus to His Father. Hallelujah. John 16, verses 13 to 15. It says, but when the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will unveil the reality of every truth within you. So we're talking about a partnership here. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of revelation, whether it be prophetic revelation or any other revelation. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. Amen. It says, He won't speak on His own, but only what He hears from the Father. And He will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? He will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. Praise God. You know, some people believe that you need to have the title of a prophet in order to get prophetic revelation. But I believe that in every believer's life, prophetic revelation should be something that we experience constantly. Amen? And it comes out of a relationship with God. I'm not saying that you are a prophet, you have the office of a prophet. But anytime the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, it is a prophetic revelation. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us is things concerning the future. Amen? Things concerning the future. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says, He will glorify me on the earth. That's the Holy Spirit. For he will receive from me what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. That's why I say that the divine encourager, that's the Holy Spirit, will receive what is mine and reveal it to you. Amen? And that includes the future. That includes the future. You know, God wants every believer to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Every believer. When God created Adam, God's plan was that all humanity would have fellowship with him. That was God's plan. Not only Adam and Eve, but all their offsprings coming right down to us. God's plan was that all humanity would have fellowship with him, would have a relationship with him. But Adam sinned. And the wages of sin is death. Amen? The wages of sin is death. Some people say that all human beings are God. They are God's children. They were created by God, but they are not God's children. The wages of sin is death. Sin separated man from God. Sin separated humanity from God. But Jesus Christ is God's bridge. God's bridge from humanity to God. The only way we can become children of God is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior through God's grace. Through His grace. Amen? So praise God. I end by saying the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Hallelujah. Could we stand, please? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to someone, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not a part of your heart. All of your heart. Not a part of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Do you know that your understanding, leaning on your own understanding, can rob you of what God has for you? There's no room for your understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Hallelujah. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. God is not dead. God is alive. God loves you, and God wants to direct your path. Amen. Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Trust in the Lord. You have a situation, and God say, trust me. That's it. I trust you, Lord. Not, Lord, who is going to help me? How are you going to work it? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? No. Trust in the Lord. Full stop. Amen. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Praise God. Amen. Now, I saw a vision, I had a closed eye vision of a man seated in a white van, snugged in behind a wall, as if he was, you know, he deliberately did not want anyone to see him nor the van. The man was dressed in a white bush jacket, and his head, it was balding to the front, and he appeared to be about 60 years old, 55, 60. And I heard the words, You are being watched. You are being watched. You are being watched. For what it's worth, keep an eye around your environment. Keep your eye around your environment. Amen. And I want to pray for two conditions. Hernia. A condition in which part of an organ is displaced and protrudes through the wall of the cavity containing it. Hernia. Amen. There's an anointing here to heal hernia today. Whether in here or online. Hallelujah. And the other one is herniated disc. Herniated disc. Which is an abnormal protrusion of a spinal disc between two vertebrae. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your wonderful salvation. Praise God. If you are listening online or you are in here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm asking you to just inviting you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I ask you to save me, Lord, by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Father, just thank you for every believer online and here physically. I pray that, Lord, you will continue to open the eyes of our understanding concerning the grace of God, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I commit that vision of that man in that van to you, Lord. And Father, I pray that whoever this applies to, Lord, that, Lord, you will open their eyes and that you will give them wisdom and help them to discern and to identify this person that is watching them, Lord. And having identified, Lord, give them wisdom as what to do, Lord. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit that condition of hernia to you, Lord. And Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask you to pull back the tissue that's protruding, Lord, and to heal that stomach wall now, Lord. Hallelujah. I speak healing to that stomach wall now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I commit this condition of herniated this to you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that protrusion of the spinal disc, Lord, that it will recede to its original position, Lord. Hallelujah. I command you to recede to your original position now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray for healing and strengthening of the spinal cord, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I thank you that healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cause your river of grace to flow into their bodies now, Lord. Every person having hernia or an herniated disc, Lord, let your river of grace flow into their bodies now, Lord, and bring healing. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we just bless you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.